for everyone. Can please fold your arms and bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we beseech you to look with favor on this gathering. Bless the officers of this association and all here assembled and the good work they are striving to accomplish. Grant also that the deliberations of this convention may be conducted in peace, harmony, and in the interest of our beloved order. We ask in your name, amen.
Let's turn towards the flag. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Regional Manager David Coffey.
Morning, guys. Great attendance. Thank you very much. I was very impressed yesterday with the attendance on Friday. I think it's the best percentage of lodges that we've had here on a Friday in the last 7 years that I've been the regional manager. So thank you for that. Yesterday, I had the first-time attendee stand up. I'd like to do that again today just to see if anybody new came in. Anyone that's here for the first time, would you please rise? Great. It's very nice to have you guys here. I hope that people sitting next to you will extend their hand and make you feel welcome. I remember my first convention that I went to, and I was uncomfortable when I came in, and I hope you guys are comfortable when you're here. But we're going to move on with our program. We've got a busy schedule this morning and this afternoon. We're going to try to provide you with a bunch of information that I hope will be very useful to you. Thank you.
Bob Porn for the Moose of the Year. Next will be Jim Colby.
Good morning. Moose of the Year and Rookie of the Year. Not every lodge is going to have a Rookie of the Year because that is a person who has been in there for no longer than 3 years. And according to the work, you'll receive the applications for Moose of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and last year they could put Legion of the Year in the same envelope and sent them to you. The Moose of the Year, Junior Past Governor, is responsible for the committee. He's the chairman of the committee. Now, that's a committee. That's not just a Junior Past Governor. You select the Moose of the Year. Every lodge in the state of Michigan has to have a Moose of the Year. Somebody has done something better than the rest of the people in your lodge. Honor that person. Rookie of the Year, the requirements for that are on the application. And that's restrictive. Not every lodge probably will have somebody in that category. When you get into the Legion of the Year, the same way, the Legionnaire of the Year, the chairman of the Moose Legion Lodge Committee picks the committee who picks the Moose Legionnaire of the Year. What you want to do on these applications is be very careful. You rip the application in two. It'll tell you, send this portion to Moose International. Send this portion to the respective state person who gets it. Don't send the entire application if it doesn't say so to Moose International. They got to turn around and spend 45 or 50 cents to send it back to the person who's supposed to have it. Other than that, just bear in mind, of all the lodges in Michigan, we should have 100% people turn in for the Moose of the Year. That's my presentation. Thank you, and I expect everyone to do that.
Mr. Colby. Next is Bob Funky.
Jack, are you here from Redford? Is there a representative here that I can talk to? When you get done, can you come over here? I need to talk to you a minute. Also, I need to see Grayling, Richmond, and Houghton Lake on a couple of checks. So when I get done, if you come over here, I need to verify where they're going. The first thing I'm going to go into is, why do we send community service reports in? Some of you feel it's not important. I was in here yesterday that you heard from Kathy Funky on why, I know she explained why the Elks were turned down. I'll tell you why. They didn't have enough community service to get a tax relief. Every lodge, to my knowledge, that I go into, I go to district meetings, every lodge is reporting community service. I don't know why we have a problem on sending quarterly community service reports in. I got the stats here. Normally I don't go over them to bore you to death. But for the third quarter, and we had 11 lodges that did not report, and the district presidents, and also I'm hoping that the lodges are here, still try to get a report in for the third quarter that was due January 31st, and they need to receive it by the 15th of the following month. So all these reports for the third quarter should have been in by the 15th of February. Fourth quarter is due April 30th. And no later than May 15th. And this has probably been the best quarter we've had with only 11 lodges not reporting. Pontiac, Gladwin, Avon Rochester, Buchanan, Coldwater, St. Ignace, Mount Clemens, Munising, Midland, Serial City, I know they're fairly new, and Muskegon, especially for the two new lodges. I know John Weir is going through for Salary City selling community service projects, so you should have a report. For them couple of lodges, if you don't have anything, still send that report and say no activity. At least they didn't, an international, think that you forgot to send a report in. Just for the lodges that did send in, we had quite a few that did send in late, but I have all them here. And what's nice about it, total amount of money that each lodge raised in the state was $222,381.64. Amount of hours which they multiply, 633,957.75. Mileage, and a lot of you do not fill that out. When I was on community service judging these for 20-some years, too numerous, or we didn't have time to combine all the hours. That's important, too, as a community service chairman. And mileage amount was $17,796.10. The total just on the third quarter alone came to $874,137.49. Give yourself a hand. Isn't it great when Dave... When Dave goes up to Lansing, take this report, him and Kathy can sit down and say, we do community service. Why don't you give us a tax break? We're out there on the highway, off the highway. We're working with Salvation Army, Meals on Wheels. Whatever it is, we've got it. It's in black and white now. And if they need the reports, we can get them from Moose International to prove to them. So now we have a tool. But we need 100%. What are the other lodges doing? Why aren't you reporting? Also, on part of your community service reports, Moose International, if you have four superiors, like I said, I was on that committee for over 20 years. We, half of the lodges through the United States and Canada and Bermuda, receive plaques. We judge them. So if you've got a plaque, you were in the top 50% of the lodges. So at least we recognize the lodges that did do community service and one above just doing a few things. So they're continuing, you know, giving plaques away each year for 50% of the lodges that follow through on sending four community service reports. And another thing, I know I reported yesterday on youth awareness, which is still part of community service. We as Michigan State Executive Board here, we have that six-point program, and one of them is sending two students. And you get 20 cents if you follow, at least have four of the six items on the program. We pay you for bringing kids to the congresses. And there again, it's a no-win situation on that. Also, on reporting, everyone should be at least once a quarter, if not every month, send your check in for the endowment fund. That's the first one for Moose Heart and Moose Haven. John will give you a report on that a little later. But that's part of the program Moose International is sending in also your checks. And I'm not going to go through the schedule of the items you need to do. You can do that off the report that you get. But all I'm asking, especially with the governors and a few of you I know are going out and probably a few going in, I know Dave with Sage usually sends out something a week or two ahead of time that I used to mail out, but now we email that, you know, community service reports are due. I know Gary's here. Where's Gary Mueller? I know Gary comes through, too, and stops and sees me about once a month if I'm there. But he has a list, too, of lodges in his area that, you know, doesn't have community service reports in. So, like I said, once you go back, if you're on this list, do me a favor, get that third report in Monday or Tuesday. And then every lodge should have one in for the fourth quarter. And another thing, it used to be, too, and Mr. Green probably tell you that, too, I know when they went to court to fight some of these lawsuits, it was nice to have these $60, $80 million each year that we donated through community service to try to help the cases, because a lot of these cases were costing Moose International millions of dollars, and that's why your premiums kept going up. But it's kind of nice to know that, you know, we do, you know, community service and have figures there. So I'm not going to bore you anymore on community service, but like I said, let's work on getting 100% on getting our reports in every quarter. Thank you.
Bob Funky, you're next. But before Bob speaks, you know, I want to mention, a while ago, Bob sent out a request for community service, safety reports. And I snickered and laughed at Bob. And I'm going to tell you why. He reported to everybody who had reported. And the thing was, it was 3 to 4 weeks before it was due. And I says, that's kind of silly. And the end result was that we still had about 15 to 20 lodges that were 4 to 5 weeks late. And I called Ron because I wanted Ron Kaminsky to visit a lodge to see why it wasn't being done. He says, Gary, the report only takes 20 minutes to do at the most. And the hard part was finding your insurance information. And there's no reason why a safety report or any form should be late. I'd rather get a jump on any report and get it sent in before my name goes on a list. Bob?
Okay. That was my report.
Here, hold this one, right?
Any money in it?
That was part of my report. Always count on Gary for a helping hand. Okay, loss prevention, which is part of what the safety inspection report's about. We can all look around our lodge homes and see situations that, you know, might need a little safety improvement. Carpets secured better, runners put on your stairways, your handrails tightened, make sure your snow is covered. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about what happened last year. Slips, trips, and falls are the number one claim in our lodges. And the claims for slips, trips, and falls in our parking lots and sidewalks and entrances are number one on that list. Slips, trips, and falls in the social quarters are number two on that list. So of all the claims that we look at to pay on behalf of the lodge, those are the two biggest items. And those are the two easiest things that we have to correct. Last year, for the calendar year of 2011, slips, trips, and falls amounted to $7,461.78, Gary. They included claims on slipping on a wet surface, like you might have in your kitchen or your bathrooms, chairs improperly repaired and maintained, and so they collapse, and that happened twice. And a member who tripped in the parking lot against an unmarked curb. The largest dollar amount in claims had to do with two member-alleged assaults that occurred in the lodge. They were both alcohol-related. One guy was so inebriated that it took a team of people to try to get him out of the lodge. And apparently he was injured. But Dave's feeling a lot better now. I think he's withdrawn his suit. No, all kidding aside, though, that's pretty serious stuff. If your lodge had to pay $22,000 in damages for something like that, when it was your member's fault to begin with, it could put a lot of lodges in Michigan out of business overnight. That's every Moose member's responsibility, not just you administrators and not just you new governors, but every Moose member in your lodge has a responsibility to point out to the Board of Officers when something needs repair, when something looks like maybe it could be a dangerous situation, and then act on that. Inspect your lodge home. Clean up the spills as soon as they occur. Salt and shovel your walks. Fix carpet tears. Place non-slip treads on your stairs. Make sure your handrails are secure. Repair your furniture. Look for fire hazards. We had some fires this past year where rags and boxes and things were stored close to a furnace or a hot water tank. So check that out. Make sure you have adequate lighting. And check for electrical problems. I know years ago, St. Clair Shores burnt down to the ground because of electrical problems. So, we come to our lodge safety inspection form. It's a little computerized or computer-generated form. You get it from Moose International. Copies have been emailed to your lodges a couple of times already, along with about a dozen reminders to do this little job. As of the day before yesterday, there were still 32 lodges in Michigan that had not sent in that form. We ask you to do it to ensure that your lodge is a safe place for members to gather and to help lower your lodge's risk pool assessment by keeping the lodge in safe condition and reducing injuries and claims. They're due twice a year. April 1st, not the end of April, they're due next Sunday, Saturday. Probably Friday, I should say, because if you don't get it on Friday, there won't be anybody there over the weekend to receive it. And October 1st of each year. Another topic to help save you some money in the long run is hall rental insurance. So we all have occasions where we may choose to rent our halls to members, even to non-members. Bachelorette parties, wedding receptions, funeral lunches, dances, birthday parties, anniversary parties, private parties. Hall rental insurance was developed to protect you when you're having activities that are not related to the Moose. The insurance is purchased when your facilities are rented for money or for gratis, for free, like reserving an area for somebody, and alcohol is being served. You have to have those two ingredients. Lodge is reserved, alcohol is being served. The insurance provides coverage for the first $500,000 of a claim arising from your hall rental. Now, if you have an event that doesn't qualify for hall rental insurance, you can't buy it. Okay? If you have an event that qualifies for hall rental insurance and you don't get it, your lodge will be responsible for any claims, and your officers will be responsible for any claims financially because you knew that you should have gotten it. And you knew it was available, and you knew how to get it. So we encourage you to call if you have any questions. And you can call myself, you can call any of the state board members, you can call Riskful and at Moose International. Hall rental insurance must be purchased to protect the lodge from claims, to protect your members from loss and their loss of their home, lodge home. To protect the person renting your facilities as well. We don't think about that a lot, but the person renting your facilities is also protected for their liability. When must the hall rental insurance be purchased? When your facilities are being used for a non-Moose function and there will be alcohol consumed, sold, given away, or present in any fashion. The hall rental insurance must be purchased whether or not you charge for the use of your property. A non-Moose function is one that is not sponsored by a fraternal order of the Moose. Your legion, your higher degree, your chapter, and your lodge. And it must be purchased prior to the event. You can't wake up on Saturday morning and say, oh my God, we need lodge rental insurance for our event tonight, because you won't get it. So just do a little planning. It only takes a couple of days to get it confirmed. Points to consider. Is any part of your lodge home being rented or reserved? Will alcohol be consumed by anyone, member or guest? If the answer is yes to both of those questions, you must obtain hall rental insurance. If you do not get special event insurance when it's required, you're on your own. Risk Pool will not cover you, and even your officers may be personally liable for any damages assessed. How to avoid special event insurance? Because we don't want to pay unnecessarily, right? Don't serve alcohol during the event. At St. Clair Shores, we have funeral lunches for our members. It could be considered a benefit of being a member, but we go one step further and we say during the funeral luncheon there will be no alcohol consumed, and that takes care of the problem. We have a sign with that rule posted, and if a member wants to bring a guest in following the luncheon and purchase a drink for them afterwards, that's their business. But during the event, there's no alcohol served, and so we avoid needing to require hall rental insurance. Another way, don't rent out your hall. How many lodges here almost live off of their hall rental? There's a few. Not so many anymore. Okay. That's kind of silly, though, because there are times where it's to your benefit to rent it. And the other thing you can do to avoid that is make sure that those kinds of events are a benefit to your membership, that all members are included, and all members are eligible to have the same kind of function. Another thing you want to do is post your policy and monitor its compliance. So if you set a policy, like I mentioned, for a funeral luncheon, no alcohol will be consumed, you have to post that. There has to be someone there to monitor that and make sure that alcohol is not being brought over from the social quarters. The next screen, everybody should be able to read easily. Well, maybe not. The bottom two lines are the most important. You should know that you can get this online. That's the place to go. And that's your online link, which is aonline or aonline at aon.com. And then you follow that up with mailing and a check. Okay, let's talk about compliance monitors. These two areas are so important. The slips and falls and inspecting your properties and getting hall rental insurance. That Moose International has decided that those who don't comply and put the fraternity at a higher level of risk will pay more for their risk pool assessment. A compliance monitor is an additional charge of money added to a lodge's risk pool general liability assessment. As a penalty for failure to observe compliance requirements of the risk management department, lodges failing to comply with the required submission of a lodge safety inspection form and or failing to comply with the requirement to purchase hall rental insurance will have compliance modifiers added to their risk pool assessment. What's a compliance modifier? Well, it's easy. It's 10%. So if you pay $10,000 a year for risk pool, you're going to pay $11,000 if you fail to get your April 1st inspection report in on time. If you also fail to get your October 1st inspection in on time, you pay another $1,000. And if you also are caught failing to get the required hall rental insurance, which usually will happen when there's an incident and somebody complains, you'll pay another $1,000, or another 10% will be added to your risk pool. Your risk pool could go up 30% if you're ignoring these requirements. Who can afford an extra $3,000 a year for risk pool? Anybody? Anybody think we're paying too much as it is? Well, the reason we do this kind of stuff is to try to keep that cost down. We can prove to the insurance companies that we're doing our lodge inspections, we're getting added insurance when it's above and beyond the scope of our Moose units, and that keeps the cost down. It's unfair for those lodges who are not participating in that, that they shouldn't have to pay a little more. So that's how that decision was made. If you have any questions about it, you can contact Cynthia Traynor and our illustrious general governor. We'll talk to you about it a little bit more. Let's talk about corporate theft. Who handles your money? Bar staff, the committee chairman, volunteers, your administrators, recorders, your fundraisers, that would be your committees. Is there dual control? Do you have two people walking the money around, counting it, making sure it's correct, and sealing it up in an envelope or a pouch? Are receipts given every time money changes hands? And what about internal audits? Get your receipts. Get your bank statements. Get your administrator to print out profit and loss and balance sheets and the checkbook balance report. Review all canceled checks and deposits to make sure they agree with your activities. Identity theft and the right to privacy are two strong federal bills that protect an individual. It's your responsibility as lodges to protect your members' information. Now, a lot of lodges publish a membership directory. That's okay, but I would encourage you to get a disclaimer from your member indicating that they give you permission to publish that information. Name, address, phone number. If they have a non-published number and all of a sudden their number is available, they have a right to seek a remedy from your lodge. Membership records are sensitive. Volunteer lists, membership directories, employee records, disciplinary hearings, officers' meetings, minutes, financial records, and election ballots. All confidential and all extremely private, and they should be safeguarded as such. How about tips training? Another way to save your lodge's money. When we show Risk Pool that we are tips training every officer, we're even asking our lady officers to get trained, and all of our wait staff, then the price goes down for the insurance coverage. It's another way Moose International is trying to save you money by making sure that we're properly trained and able to deal with situations as they come up. You wouldn't want any of this kind of stuff to happen in your lodge. This could bankrupt your lodge. I think you've seen, most of you have seen these pictures before, so we'll just rush through them. Ouch. How about this one? This little turquoise car, of course the whole top was torn off of it. There wasn't anything left of the side of it to the right. And that's where the driver was. So we don't think he made it out. So that's why we preach tips training. It's also why we teach alcohol safety in tips training. And you can take tips online. And the State Moose Association offers several tips training classes. And make sure that everyone that's serving and all of your officers take that. Don't overserve. Moose members, do not let Moose members drive drunk. Take them home. Have a cab service. Have something planned in advance so when it happens, you know how to deal with the situation. Most importantly, we want you to have fun and be safe. I was going to ask all the lodges that have not submitted your lodge safety form to come and see me after the meeting. But I'm not going to do that. You guys know who you are. Please get it in by the end of the week. Save yourself $1,000. This isn't a threat. It isn't a maybe. It's going to happen. It's already being monitored. I get reports on it every 3 or 4 days. So help me out. Thank you.
General Governor Green. and next will be American Life. Ron, would you like to escort him up, please?
My comments will be very brief. Excellent job, Bob. Excellent job. Moose International, and my office especially, wants to see your lodge prosper. I want you to have fundraisers all year long. I don't care if you have them every week, twice a week. But they've got to be different. You can only have two light functions a year. You can serve alcohol to the public at a function. You can have a beer garden at a public gathering. Say your city has a community fair or something, and you want a beer garden there. You can get a dispensation as a fundraiser, and your lodge will be covered because it's a lodge activity for the insurance. We want you to make money. We want you to expose your lodge to the community. So if you want to have community service events in your lodge, as long as it is a legitimate community service organization coming in using your facility, we don't have a problem with that. We will give you a dispensation to have that event. If you've got the Red Cross wanting to come in and put on a blood mobile that day, if you've got the paramedics wanting to come in and put on a show for what's done in the community and rescue efforts, or the police department coming in and using your facility to put on a program, or the fire department, we encourage you to do those things. And oftentimes other fraternal organizations are allowed to come in and use your facility to promote their efforts in the community through you as a sponsor. So we want you to do all those things, but be sure you contact our office, get the dispensation. Be sure it's an event that is covered by your insurance, and have fun and make some money. And be sure your lodge is there for the future. We want you to make money. We want you to be up and going. And a lot of times our lodges are struggling, they say, because we can't get activities. We can't get activities because you don't promote them. Simple fact. When you're renting to a lodge member for a family function, be sure they get the insurance. We had a situation last year where the sheriff was a member of the lodge. His daughter got married. They had a big crowd there. The sheriff's wife fell and had a compound fracture in her leg. They didn't get the whole rental insurance. So the lodge ended up paying about $500,000. I don't think many of us can afford that. So you see how important that $150 insurance policy is. So be sure you have it to protect yourself and your members. And again, Bob, excellent job. Thank you.
American Life.
Everybody's leaving it there. Am I in trouble? thank you. I won't take a lot of time. I just want to thank the Moose Association for inviting American Income Life to the convention and allowing us to offer our member benefit program to the members of the Moose, as well as to the women of Moose, the chapters. My name is Steve Matus. I'm with American Income Life, the public relations manager in the Detroit area. I want to thank Lee. She's not here, but Lee is the lady that you've been talking to for the last couple of days.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I wanted to point out that this company recently gave me a check for $1,000 for Moose Charities, and I want to thank them for that before I walk out of the room.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Now I don't have to toot my own horn. Okay.
Lee is the lady you've been talking to the last couple of days. I want to thank her for being in attendance. I get to be able to come up here and talk to you folks. Last year when I was here, we had 10 lodges as well as chapters that are using the no-cost member benefit program for your members. As of today, we have 31 lodges and 6 chapters offering the benefits package to their members, totaling over 23,000 members of the Moose. All of these members of these chapters and lodges are eligible, are covered with the accidental death and dismemberment benefits, as well as the no-cost discount card, as well as offering the Child Safe program. I don't know how many lodges have offered the Child Safe program, but we do have the Child Safe kits, and we make them available to everybody. I don't need to take questions here, but downstairs, if you want to talk to me about offering the programs, please feel free to come down and meet with me. It would be my pleasure to talk with every one of you folks here. But on to bigger and better things. I wanted to have the drawing here for the Detroit Tigers game. And I need somebody to draw, so I'm just going to ask you to draw a ticket here. Does everybody have their tickets with them? No, you don't have to. I understand that everybody wrote their name on them. Okay. Pardon? A single ticket. You don't have to be present to win either. This is for Detroit Tigers Pittsburgh Pirate game on May 20th, interleague game, 1:05 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and it's about 15 rows right behind the home base. These are really nice seats if anybody's had an opportunity to sit there. So the winner is Frank Chavez in Monroe. Chavez. Well, I'm going to give the tickets. Who's here from Monroe can give these tickets to him? I want to have some, I'll pass them off to you.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have the name. You know who's getting that. As well as, I want to thank Bill Taylor for standing and taking donations for this, because we raised, where's Bill Taylor at? All right, Bill. We raised $202 for the Moose. Here you are. Thank you, sir. And God bless. Thank you very much. Take care.
Up next, we'll have Debbie Palmer with tips training. Make her feel welcome. Also, the Sergeant-at-Arms guys are walking around, I believe, with a TV raffle, correct? Okay, they're walking around right now with a TV raffle. Also, on American Income, just until Debbie gets up here, if anybody's got any questions, there's several lodges that already do that. Sean, myself, Harrison, a couple others. You know, if you got any apprehensions or questions, get with one of us or get with those people. And Miss Debbie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Oh, you're learning. Thank you. I like waking you guys up. Okay, I'm here to talk about tips training. Now, I know that all you people have all your people trained, right? All right. We have more trainers now. Last year, for a while, it was just me. We've trained some more people, so we do have trainers spread out across the state. What you're supposed to be doing, and I know you guys aren't all doing it, every month at your district meeting, someone needs to stand up and find out if there's any people in any of the lodges in the district that need training. So we can get a rough estimate. When you have some people that need to get trained, get a hold of me. I will contact a trainer that's in your area and get someone in your district to do the training for you. You can have all your people trained. Like Bob Funky said, you don't want to get into the trouble that you can get into if you don't have your servers trained. Also, they tend to overserve and overpour. Just to be nice, don't need to be nice. We need to make sure that everyone's safe. And it's very important that you get this training. Also, it helps you out on your liability insurance. And you guys all can save a buck, right? Everyone can save a buck or two. I'd like to save some money. But this is a very important thing. I know you guys kind of space it off sometimes, thinking, oh, they've been a bartender for a while. They can do it. They're not supposed to be behind the bar unless they have a tips card. You have all volunteer staff, your men officers, your women officers, if they step in and help. You're not supposed to be behind that bar at all unless you have a tips card. It's not that difficult. If we can't get you, yes, you can go online and do the class. But we do have trainers across the state. There's one right there. Mr. O'Connor, raise your hand. Jim's a trainer. So we have trainers a lot of places. You know, is Ron Farmer in the room? Should be. There he is. Stand up, Ron. No, we didn't. He's standing over there. That's another one of our TIPS trainers. And Bob Porn is a TIPS trainer. I know he's around here someplace. And Sue Taylor is a... you're hiding. Thank you for hiding. And we have Sue Taylor. And we still have Linda. And Linda Stilwell. So we have them. Because Linda's in Dwight Jack. So we have them all over the state. So there's no reason why you can't get training now. And this is a very important thing, because if something happens, it can cost you your lodge and cost you everything that you have. And I would really hate to see that. And I know I'm kind of trying to pound this into your head, but this is something that is really extremely important, that you get this training. If you go on the state website, there's links. If you can find me, get how many people you have and email me, I will make sure that I have a trainer contact you, so we can get your people trained. I know it's just about time you got new officers coming in. If you have new officers coming in, they really need to be trained. So we need to start setting up classes. So at your next district meeting, I expect that every district will bring this up and find out how many people need to get trained, and you will all contact me. I should hear from someone in every district. District president should be getting a hold of me and let me know how many people need to be trained so I can start setting up this training. Right? Yeah. Thank you very much. You're going to start booing me like Colby, aren't you? I know it.
Okay, I want to thank Debbie for the job that she does working with our TIPS trainers, doing the scheduling. She said it should be on the agenda of you district presidents of every meeting to check and see who needs TIPS trainers trained in your lodges. And while I'm saying this, I had a report from the district. We get district reports. And it said that as all your employees trained, they said, well, a couple of them. That's not acceptable. If I was on that board, I'd want to get off of it real quick, because the fact of it is you just negated your insurance. Because with our insurance, it stipulates they must be trained. So if you have a major catastrophe happen and they negate your insurance, you board officers better have a lot of money, because that's who they're coming after. The way it's set up now, you have to be trained. That's part of your insurance obligation. So make sure that's happening to cover your own butts.
Mr. Sage, is that person in the house for... Back over here. Okay, let's do a drawing real quick while they're heading this way, if we got one.
Gordy Hall, South Haven.
Imagine that. Mr. Lucky.
Mac McNaughton.
He ain't here. He's not here. Draw another one.
Curtis Lyons, Richmond. Ray Draper, Adrian. Don Odom, Elbert. James Carrier, Redford.
Okay, we all done now? Good. I think it's Mr. John Norman, right? Okay, I'm close.
That's what they told me.
No problem.
Hello, man. It's the first time I've been in a moose lodge. Okay? You know what? I like the character. Men of integrity. A lot of responsibilities for take care of our families, our communities, and each other, and our country. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time up here. I'm going to introduce somebody that you probably know. He's another man of integrity. He's always walked his walk, not just talked the talk. And that is my friend, Joe Norman. You might remember him as number 52 from the Seattle Seahawks. Here he comes right here. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. Welcome, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Drove up from Ohio, lived down in Worcester, Ohio, if any of you know where that is. Okay, I know. I knew I was headed for hostile territory, but I'll tell you what, you know, you guys have been awesome, and we've had a wonderful time since we got here yesterday. But what we're here today, we're going to talk to you a little bit about something that we have found. One of the things that, you know, from if any of you noticed, I had a little limp when I walked up here, and that happened because of my football career, and I was at Indiana University, just to give you kind of a timeline. That's when Michigan had Rick Leach as their quarterback, Harlan Huckelby, and they had that offensive line where four of the five offensive linemen ended up in the NFL, Mike Ken, Dufek, and those guys. That's why they beat us 56-6, and that's why I have such bad memories of coming to Michigan. And on the screen there, you see the top right-hand side, that's a picture of me tackling the running back from Michigan State. I don't remember who it was, but if you remember, those of you that are football fans, Michigan State, their best player that year was a guy by the name of Kirk Gibson. You don't realize, that guy was an All-American wide receiver, 6'2 and a half, 210 pounds, and ran a 4.440. And no one could cover it. And he was an All-American, and got to know him very well out at the Hula Bowl in Hawaii. But after being at Indiana, was drafted by Seattle, and the second-round draft pick. And again, time frame-wise, I was in the same class with Joe Montana. So he's a great player from our class that is a great Hall of Famer. But left Seattle after six short years because of a series of injuries to my left knee. Moved back to Ohio, got into business. And one thing that I noticed in my business, I know many of you own businesses, is very troubled about what's going on with our government. $15.5 trillion in debt, and no signs of slowing down anytime soon. The U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its purchasing power just over the last 36 months alone. You want to go ahead and get the next slide? There's a monitor. Okay, yeah. We got some statistics up here. Just in the last 3 years, guys, we've seen QE1, QE2. We've seen cash for clunkers all come and go in an attempt to stimulate the economy when in reality, really all it did is run up the debt and deflate our purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. And as bad as things and troubling as things are here in the United States, they're even worse in Europe. We just bailed out Greece not too long ago. It was a combination of the Central Bank of Europe and our Federal Reserve. And it's kind of what I call a silent QE3. Where'd that money come from they gave Greece? Well, they created it out of thin air, and that's going to cause more inflation because what we've learned through our economic analysts is it usually takes 12 to 16 months for that money to work its way through the market and manifest as more inflation. Interestingly enough, when President Obama took office, do you remember what the price of a gallon of gas was? Close, $1.75. Now it's $4. You're starting to see inflation start to eat away at the purchasing power of the dollar. We've seen it in the last 36 months, but because of QE1, QE3, QE2, and the things that they've done fiscally, in the next year to two, you're going to see runaway inflation like we've never seen before. So with that in mind, I'm going to hit the next slide. How does it affect you? How does it affect your family, your job, your business, your investments? You know, my mother's included in this group. I found out she hadn't looked at her brokerage statement in 4 months, and I asked, why? She says, because every time I do, I'm losing so much money that it scares me. Well, the next slide, please. We also know that our banks, you know, they're charging us more fees these days, and less service, very little, if any, financial advice. And You know, they're paying us 1.5% a year, and inflation's running over 11%. Sure, the government says it's 3% inflation, but let's break that down. They don't include energy. They don't include a number of things that like food and gas. If they included everything in inflation statistics, they would have to increase Social Security payments. They can't do that. They can't afford to do that, so they manipulate the number. Real inflation is running over 11%. So if the bank's paying me 1.5% and inflation is running at 11%, that math doesn't work real well. It doesn't sit well with me. There's got to be a better way. Now, let's talk about FDIC insurance. Back to that last slide just for 1 second. Would you rather have a bank account backed by FDIC insurance or gold? Everybody that would prefer gold, raise their hand. Okay, I still see there's some of you that have faith and confidence in our government and FDIC insurance to bail us out. And just to give you an idea of how that may or may not work out, ask the victims of Bernie Madoff how that worked out. Ask the victims of MF Global how FDIC insurance worked out for them. Our government's $15.5 trillion in debt. Do you really think that if there was a banking crisis, they could pay everybody back? I don't think so. I think it's an illusion. I think it's a pipe dream. Okay, next slide. And then you've got your IRAs, 401ks, TIOs, private retirement plans. People work 25 to 40 years to accumulate a nest egg. And bottom line is, you are what your record says you are. When you get your statement, are you happy with it? If you are, hey, great. You're doing a good job. But you know what? We think that having our investment, things that we've worked so hard for in paper derivatives, is very risky. Next slide, please. And then you got your financial advisors. A lot of people trust others with their financial well-being. But at the rate things are changing, you know, be honest with yourself. Where are you going to be with your portfolio if you continue doing things the way you're doing them? So, next slide, please. There's no shortage of people that are concerned, you know, the things that are going on. You got the Tea Party, the Republic, Occupy Wall Street. All these people are upset at the fiscal policies of our government, and they're not bashful about letting people know. But many people are turning to gold for protection and as an assurance, because gold has a history and a track record of safety, security, and performance. Gold is inflation insurance. Inflation goes up, so do gold prices. However, what we have found in our dealings with this company, Carat Bars International, is when we talk to people, most people don't know where to buy gold. They don't know who to trust. They don't know what type of gold to buy, whether it's gold coins, bars, ingots. And they don't know what a fair price to pay is. And so what people end up doing? Nothing. And they end up not owning gold. Or sometimes they buy forms of gold and pay more for it, or forms of gold that they really shouldn't buy. The Carat Bars International, we came across and discovered this company a couple of years ago. And after doing our due diligence and even sending someone over to their headquartered in Germany, we sent one of our trusted associates over there because I don't take any pride in the fact that I have been fooled before. But we wanted to make sure that this company was who they said they were, owned what they said they owned, and had an operation that was solid. So after Steve Kelly spent 8 days over there, and actually they flew him down to Turkey to tour the mines and the refinery, we were very pleased with what we found out. But this gives people an opportunity to own and control gold in smaller, more affordable, transaction-friendly weights without spending any money. And I'm going to explain how that works. But actually, what we're here today to do is to show the Moose how they can use this system to do a perpetual fundraiser where no one is asked to do anything that they're not already doing. Next slide, please. All you do with Carat Bars International is open an account just like you would your local bank account. Does anybody in this room do online banking? Online internet banking. Okay, it works the exact same way. You set up an account. It's free to do that. No charge whatsoever. You set up your account, and then you simply exchange fiat paper currency, which I call bad money, 24 carat bars, which is 24 carat 999.9 gold in small weights, 1 gram at a time. And the reason why their philosophy is 1 gram at a time is if you have a 1 ounce coin, let's just assume things continue to unravel and get worse. Say, everybody remember October of 2008 when the banking system almost collapsed, stock markets collapsed, and things got really, really serious there. And if something like that happens again in the future, and you need groceries, and you take a 1 ounce American Eagle into a grocery store, what are you going to do, shave a piece of it off? No, that having a 1 gram carat bar, which the spot price this morning was $75.04, gives you more flexibility. And these units are LBMA certified, which there's only 6 refineries in the world that have that high level of certification. LBMA stands for London Bullion Market Association. Of those 6 refineries, only one is private, and that's ours. The other 5 are either government-owned or government-controlled. So this is a private savings plan that's off the radar screen of any government. You have 4 options to exchange paper money into carat bars. 3 of those 4 you can take immediate delivery. The other is a monthly purchase plan, which is what, in essence, is dollar-cost averaging. Every month you're going to add dollar-cost average in an X amount to exchange it into gold. Our carat bars accounts last year were up over 20%, and then the end of the year there was a sell-off. But year-to-date in 2012, those of us that had carat bars account were up 12%. This year, so far, in less than 3 months, they're up a little over 5%. So the bottom line is, if inflation gets worse, your account is tied and leveraged to gold prices. So when gold prices go up, so does your account value, because you're leveraged to gold. And you're able to get this gold and exchange bad money into good money or fiat paper currency into carat bars without paying any premiums, no spreads. You're getting it at spot price. That's another advantage. Next slide, please. Now, we have a moose-sized solution to the worldwide debt savings and currency crisis that we want to talk to you about today. Next slide, please. Carat Bars is proposing to team up with the Moose organization with a unique and perpetual method of fundraising. The more money members that have an account save or exchange into Carat Bars, the greater the benefits to the Moose charities. Why? Because they have a referral rewards bounty program that when you refer an account holder, a new account holder, they're going to pay a referral reward. So when your referral exchanges paper money into carat bars, that spins off a referral reward for that referring entity. Next slide, please. And the product is gold. And financial experts are advising their clients to have no less than 5%, some as much as 40% of their assets in gold in this volatile world economy. Gold has outperformed every asset class, including silver, over the last 43 years with an average annual return of 11%. People insure their homes, they insure their cars, they insure their lives. Why not insure your finances? Next slide, please. This is very compelling. This slide, if you look at the legend, the green bars are the stock market, and that's the Dow. And the silver is obviously silver and gold, and that's just since the year 2000. With what's happened with our fiscal policies over the last 3 years, we know more inflation is on its way. You're going to be either on the receiving end of that where it's going to hurt you, or if you're proactive now, you can actually position yourself where you won't get hurt as much or maybe not at all. Next slide, please. Simply exchange paper money into gold money. That's all you do. You still have money, but it's good money. It's sound money. It's gold money that you own, manage, and control. Next slide, please. So the more money Moose members save for themselves, the greater benefit to the Moose charities. It's as simple as that. And as members exchange paper money into carat bars, that will spin off commissions, referral rewards for
the Moose organization much the same way that they do and have been doing with Volunteer Energy and some of the other programs that you have. Next slide, please. So account holders with Carrot Bars International enjoy the following benefits. First of all, a simple way to acquire 24-karat gold without spending any money. Again, you're just exchanging one form of money for another form of money. You still have money. So net on net, you really haven't spent anything. You just exchange something that is volatile, losing value, for something that's stable, that's increasing in value. It's a way to pay for kids' college education. Consider this. Moose would be able to offer young parents. Imagine if a young couple would buy 1 carrot bar, 1 gram a month for a newborn baby. By the time that baby is 18 years old, you'd have enough value in that account to pay for a Harvard education, a brand new Mercedes, plus have cash left over for that child. Also, a way to protect your wealth from politicians who cannot stop spending. Banks pay 1-2% interest on deposits. And again, do the math. And Carrot Bar's account values, there's the numbers. Next slide, please. So I went over a lot very quick. Here's a review page. Basically, this is what it's all about. It's a free account. No fees. No setup. No maintenance fees, unlike banks. It's a savings plan where you can exchange paper money into gold money. Savings account leveraged to gold. It's not backed by gold, guys. It is gold. 24-karat, 99.9 LBMA-certified gold. Monthly plans where you can exchange anytime you want to. Either way you go there, it spins off referral rewards. It's a great hedge against inflation in smaller, more affordable, flexible, transaction-friendly ways. Free storage. It's the only company in the world in precious metals industry that offers free storage. You have your choice of storage in Germany, Switzerland, or Singapore, your choice. A lot of high net worth individuals find that very interesting in the fact that is stored in a non-seizure offshore sovereign country where our government can't get their hands on it if they ever decide to confiscate gold. Delivery available in 58 countries. We are the only company in the world that can deliver as little as 1 gram to 58 countries in the world. Also, And the main purpose of being here today is to help the Moose charities by helping yourself. So you're helping yourself at the same time you're helping Moose charities. Next slide, please. So you create an account with Carrot Bars. You just simply register your account, which just like most online bank accounts, you get a username and a password to log in into your account where you can conduct your business. Everyone has to be KYC approved, and that does not mean Kentucky Fried Chicken. It means know your client, and it's to comply with international banking regulations. When you go to a local bank and cash a check, you got to show what? Driver's license, proof of identification. Same thing here. You have to upload those into your computer and also a proof of address that proves that you are who you say you are, and you can do that with a utility bill, cell phone bill, anything, any statement that has your name and address on it. And then you're good to go. Once you're approved, it usually takes a day, 24 hours for approval with that. Then you can exchange paper money into gold through your back office. And remember, you're never asked to spend a dime. You're just exchanging bad money for good money. You still have good money, but it's good, sound, and stable money that has retained its value for centuries. Next slide, please. That's what the account applications and any instructions after enrollment. We have a table downstairs. Carrot Bars, you'll see that down there with the account applications. You can just simply pick up an account application. We'll make sure you have the instructions after enrollment and show you what you need to do to get your account set up. Next account, please. Our company has recently signed a licensing agreement with the Vatican. So when you talk about credibility, you don't get any more credible than that. We did a customized branded Carrot Bar for the Vatican featuring Pope John Paul. They're extremely popular. They're only doing 100,000 of them. But we're proposing, next slide, to do the same thing for the Moose. We will do a branded, customized Carrot Bar with your artwork, any artwork you want. You guys just need to decide which one you want to do. And we're not asking anyone to move a product that is not going to be an asset for whoever the recipient is. I don't think there's ever been a bad idea or a bad reason to own gold. Gold is always something good, and it's always retained its value over time. So making Moose branded carrot bars available for your constituency and all of your networks, I think will be very well received. Next slide, please. Also, we're proposing to do something very similar for Special Olympics to help them raise funds. Next slide. And we've got the procedure here laid out of what's involved doing a custom branded carrot bar. But there is a setup fee. I think it's $4,200 setup fee, which includes 3,000 blank cards. Doesn't have the gold in it, but they're the blank cards. And also, you have to commit to a minimum of a 50-gram order with your initial order, hand out as samples or make them available for sale or whatever you want to do with them. But those are the numbers in order for it to work for the company, Carrot Bars International, also for our refinery. And then once you have the 3,000 units, 50 of them you've taken delivery of immediately, you have 2,950 in reserve. We can embed the gold bullions in anytime you want to for any reason or event or special things that you have going on. And the rest of the procedures are listed there, and we can make those available to you in writing as well. Next slide, please. So we're done. I think that's it. And anybody have any questions, just see us at the table. Dan Giromo and myself will be down there all day. Love to meet you, shake your hand, get to know you. And thank you for the time and attention. Also, yes, the brochures are downstairs in the table. You can just pick those up, get your account. If you fill it out while you're here at the convention and drop it off, we can make sure your account gets set up properly. And then we'll email you, keep in touch with you. And any questions that you have, we can communicate via email or telephone. Thank you for the time. Appreciate you guys squeezing us in this morning. Have a great weekend, and thank you very much.
Women. Bill Taylor, you're up next. Then we're going to have the women. I just want to mention we have the book Kaboom in the general store. It's available, I believe, for $5. I think it's worth reading. So when you have some time, stop into the general store and pick up a copy. Oh, he wants to bring the woman first? Okay. I hope that all of us will give them an old-fashioned moose welcome by standing up and applauding them.
Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this. But do I love the dance? Well, the name of the dance is the Peppermint Twist. But do I love the dance? Well, I can have this. The Peppermint Twist. But do I love the dance? Round and round. Up and down. Round and round. And up and down. Round and round and up and down. And a 1, 2, 3 kick. 1, 2, 3 go.
Hey, that was a warm welcome. It's my pleasure to introduce to you, gentlemen, Wendy Matthew, our official visitor from the Women of Moose.
Good morning. Once again, it's my privilege and pleasure to be here with you this weekend. You know, many of you have probably attended the international conferences, and I know when the Women of the Moose come to speak to you, they always let you know about all the monies that are donated by the chapters to Moose Heart, Moose Haven, and to your fraternal lodges. But you know what? If it wasn't for you letting us hold our fundraisers in the Moose home, we wouldn't be able to donate all that money. So on behalf of all the Women of the Moose, I say thank you to each and every one of you for allowing us to hold our fundraiser so we can give you all that money. It's very, very important that we all work together as a team, that the lodges and the chapters work together to support all of the fraternal programs that we have in this fraternity. And I certainly hope that all of your lodges are working with the chapters. If they're not, someone's going to hear about it. And we'll get someone in there to help you out to make sure that you're working as a team. So once again, I thank you for all that you do for our fraternity and for allowing the Women of the Moose to have their meetings and do the programs that we need to do to make us all successful. Thank you.
Another fine lady I'd like to call to the podium is Debbie Nutter. She's our Deputy Grand Regent for this year, and what a tremendous job she's been doing for us. And I'd like to have her address you at this time.
Thank you, Dave. Welcome, gentlemen. Hope you guys are enjoying your conference. We do look forward to working with the men and the women hand in hand. We definitely need to do that to make our unit successful. And hope you enjoy your conference, and we look forward to seeing you all later. I'm short and sweet.
Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this. Well, the name of the dance is the Peppermint Twist. Well, you like it like this, the Peppermint Twist. And round, up and down, round and round.
Bill Taylor, you're up.
Don't touch the mic, please. Charlie took care of me. Okay. Today we're going to put special projects aside and talk about raising funds. Raising funds is much more than an act of writing a check. By nature of its name, it implies the raising of funds, not the disbursement of funds. The general fund is intended for the operation of your lodge. Raising funds calls for the planning and holding an event and gives committee members and others a chance to get involved beyond writing a check. It takes a good deal of work to hold a successful fundraising event, but that work will only support, not only will support Moose Heart and Moose Haven or any other charity, it will also pay dividends in public recognition of your lodge and the Loyal Order of Moose, as well as exposing potential new members to our fraternity, plus an opportunity to partner with other charitable organizations supported by the Moose. Decide on the kind of event you are going to hold and stick to it. Are you going to have a series of spaghetti dinners, a poker run, a car show, a trivia contest, a chili cook-off, comedy night, karaoke contest, a golf tournament? The ideas are endless. Just about any activity that appeals to a common interest or group can be made a fundraising event. The best events are ones that can be held regardless of the weather conditions. However, summertime bike runs, car shows, barbecue contests, and game competitions have a history of being very profitable events. Make it a fun experience. Keep things simple. Fundraising does not have to be complicated. Give your intended target audience a chance to buy into your event or charity. If you are working on an event to benefit Moose Heart or Moose Haven, why not couple it with the effort of one or more publicly known charitable organizations that the Moose supports, like Special Olympics, Safe Surfing, or the Boy Scouts, are perfect choices. partnering with well-known show charities gives your target audience an immediate point of recognition and opens the door to potential supporters to do a walkthrough of, on your way to in discovering the Moose. Tailor your event to reinforce the nature of your chosen charity. For example, Special Olympics ties wonderfully into sports-related and competitive fundraisers. Boy Scouts works well with outdoor skills or camping events. If you host a trivia contest or a spelling bee for a local school, make sure you make it known that Moose Heart is not only a home for at-risk kids and not an orphanage that is the common misperception, but it is also a top-flight school where graduates go on to a college in most cases. Make sure you have a true committee. One person might have an idea, but it takes a group of dedicated people to pull off a successful event. One person alone cannot be expected to put an event together. There should be an event co-chairman and chairman, an event treasurer, publicity coordinator, a volunteer coordinator, a raffle and prize coordinator, a food coordinator if applicable, any entertainment coordinator. I know it's hard to put that many, many people together in a committee, but it always works when it goes with a group of you. Involvement in your committee and involve your committee and take advantage of free advertising. Word of mouth is a great way to publicize your event. Get local merchants involved and you will be able to make use of their regular customer base for publicity. Simple posters, flyers, and handbills given out to customers can be an effective tool. Many public access TV and local radio stations have programs to publicize community service events. Local papers and penny shoppers have calendars in them to accommodate information for charitable causes. Be proud of your lodge and invite the mayor, the city council, officials, VIPs, and business dignitaries. Remember, if you have a good committee that shows their enjoyment while working your event, you will go a long way in interesting non-members in joining the Moose. Everybody likes to be invited to a party, but most people will go back away from additional drudgery of work. Positive attitudes will pay dividends in both new members and funds raised. Be prepared to do your homework. Have answers ready for folks who might show up from the media. It is far more important to assign a greeter than a bouncer. Most people feel welcome. Make people feel welcome and let them in on the fun from the time they cross the threshold of your lodge. Do not assume they know all about the event or the Moose, but do not treat them like they are uninformed either. Their perception of your lodge starts with the first member they meet. That includes non-members as well as members from other lodges or service organizations. Let's take a few minutes to go over the special projects that we have in the works now. We have our Michigan House at Moose Heart, and we want to keep that up to date and ready. Plus our Gimme 5 projects, Special Olympics, Safe Surfing, Boy Scouts, and our local charities. They are all deserving and should have our support. But let's do it with fundraising. It will draw our lodge closer together and make it a more active lodge. Just remember, when you joined the Moose Fraternity, you took a pledge to give of your energy and substance for the care and needs of both Moose Heart and Moose Haven. Thank you.
John Arvison is next on Founders Day. Ron Hudley, you're up next. Go ahead, let's have a three drawing.
I'm Bob Denwerther. Harold Thomas Marshall. Robert Schultz Holly. Ken Honeycutt Lewiston. Ralph Eagle Buchanan.
All right.
And John Kellman, South Haven.
Thanks, Ben. Founders Day. Usually about the third weekend of October. I don't really have the date right at the moment. We had fourth weekend, but I'll have more. The date will come out a little later. If you guys are thinking about going, it's a great time. Last year, we were just under what we were the year before. We had about 77 people. The haunted house. I know there's a new person in here. I'm going to mention his name. Phil, how was that haunted house? Frightening. Yeah. All the kids, this since the last about 4 or 5 years, it keeps getting better and better. As soon as we go get there, the kids are saying, is there going to be a haunted house? That is exactly what they're anticipating when we get there. So if you haven't ever been, and there's some new people that were there last year, talk to them about it. It is amazing and awesome. Second of all, it is where us as an association can actually get hands-on with the projects over there at Moose Heart. That's all I have at this time. Thanks, guys.
Ron Hudley is next. Ron, would you see if Donna and Delpha are coming up? Okay, good.
Morning. Ward Foyers, 1981, Detroit Tiger Hall of Famer, Vic Wirtz. Thought, what can we do to help the intellectually disabled children and adults in Michigan? Well, they got together with a few friends. They sat down and said, you know what we can do to draw attention and raise some funds? Let's roll a couple beer kegs from Mount Clemens to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think they might have been in Freddy's Bar. Nicky's Tavern, or one of those bars there in Mount Clemens, but they sobered up and gave us some more consideration, and they decided to use the weather and the time of year to accomplish their goal. They'd use the distance to make the challenge for them to overcome, just as the athletes have to overcome challenges. They'd ride snowmobiles 900 miles from Mount Clemens to Mackinac City, collect donations along the way, and the Works Warriors became a reality. You've all heard the term rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, etc., etc. But that sums up the Works Warriors. The riders and the support crew all come from all walks of life. In 1981, Vic started with 31 riders and 15 in the support crew. The support crew includes people that drive the fuel trucks, mechanics, those who sell the memorabilia, the shirts and books and all that stuff, semi-truck drivers and semi-trailers, medical staff, and when someone breaks down on the trail, it isn't long before somebody is there to help them out with parts and all the tools and get them back on the trail so they can continue their ride. They won't quit. In 1981, they started with 31 riders and 15 support crew. This year, they had 56 riders and about 30 people in the support crew. They introduced I think it was six, wasn't it, Dave? New rookies this year. And they're always bringing new people in. They're limited on the number of people they can have in this group. I just found out because they have to be able to haul snowmobiles around. They have to have the Sunai trailers to do it. They can haul up to 60 trailer or 60 sleds now. I'd like to give you an idea of what these guys go through. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but 6 o'clock in the morning is a Carl's restaurant in Mount Clemens, Chesterfield Township. They stop or they meet to have breakfast and get ready for their week. At 7 o'clock, they leave Zaccaro's and head to Skidway Lake, where they arrive about 9:15 at Narski's Market, regroup, and head on over to the American Legion. They're at the American Legion from 9:30 to 10:15 there at Skidway, and from there they head on over to our Moose Club at Skidway. They're there for 1 hour. They take off, they head out to Sand Lake at the Sand Lake Sports Bar. At that point, if the weather is permitting, which it wasn't this year and hasn't been for quite some time, they prepare their sleds, and that's where they'll get on their sleds and take off. They go over to Augray. They're there at 2:40 by 3:30 in the afternoon. They're on a very regimented schedule. 4:15, they arrive at the Sterling Pub in Sterling, Michigan. They get out of there. By 5 o'clock, 5:20, they're in Alger at Hank's Bar. 6 o'clock, they departed this year. At 6:45, they finally got over to the Quality Inn in West Branch, where they refuel their sleds from the Foster truck. They then can retire to have dinner and enjoy the Super Bowl and prepare for the next day's ride. And in that first day, they covered 93 miles on their sleds alone. That's almost 12 full hours that they spent on their first day of the ride. Before I get into the numbers, I will be out here I have a limited supply, about 1,000 of these. In August, I'll have another 10,000, so if you don't get them this time, feel free to get them in August, but if you want to get an early start on the snowmobiles, cut out, I have those with me. Let's do some numbers. Skidway Moose Lodge, $2,200. Where are you, Skidway? Great job, guys. Manistee Lodge, $3,258. Guess how much they raised? $3,258. Lewiston, my home moose, was $800 this year. We threw an extra $150 on a 50-50. Kalkaska, $220. Mancelona, $227. While in Lewiston, the rider stopped at our moose lodge there. Dave and Gary were there and presented checks from the Michigan Moose Association for $3,026. And Moose International from Special Olympics Fund kicked in another $2,758. That's a grand total from Michigan Moose Association, you guys sitting out there, $12,489. Give yourselves a big round of applause. I thank you very much. That ends my report. Please see me about the snowmobiles.
That grand total was actually close to $28,000. And there's a lot of lodges that are participating in this. And if you're not participating in it, please get in with us and help us with this great cause. Those icons that he was showing, you don't have to just have them in your lodge. Take them to the bar down the street. Take them to the bowling alley. They're into Special Olympics. Spread them around town. They'll do a good job for you. I had them in a gas station one time. They were selling them in a gas station by my house. So try that.
Don and Delpha, case and cash, please.
Hi, guys. We just want to do a real quick thank you because we know you all want to get out of here. In August, we will be back to really hound you. Case and Cash is the food drive that takes the food down to Moose Heart, for you that don't know. Last year, we took in $8,510 cash, plus the cases of food that was given to us. Old Orchard donated 1,920 bottles of juice. Pepsi donated 1,728 bottles of water. Lighthouse donated 882 8-ounce caramel dip. And we took 160 cases of vanilla snowman marshmallows that they ended up using for the lights when they did the lights for Christmas. This year will be our 40th year taking food to Moose Heart. Dad started it 36 years. He did it for 36, and this is our fourth year. We want to thank every single one of you. If it's an individual, a lodge, a district, a legion, any amount of money anybody sends in helps. Legion 108, make sure I get it right, did a golf outing last year, and they raised about $1,000. This is just showing you guys, we don't want you to take the money out of your general fund. You can do something if it's a 50-50 or anything to raise money. Pictures and thank yous are on the website, mymoose.org. And I think that's it.
Join us for Founders Day weekend. It's the time that we go down. It's a wonderful time. I know Obi spoke of it earlier. But there's flyers out there. We just can't say thank you enough to go and interact with the kids and see the disbelief and the amazement of each trailer and truckload that goes down each year. It's just is a wonderful feeling. So, again, we'll see you in August. We hope you give us the same support this year as always. And have a good day. Thank you. Can't thank you enough.
These girls do an awesome job on this Case or Cash. When it started off with a bang, and Bob Beardsley has put in, like I said, 36 years on this project, and they're carrying it forward to the future. So when that semi rolls into Moose Heart, those kids are talking, and they all ask, well, where'd all this stuff come from? And they say, from Michigan. And the kids at the Michigan home are proud because we're bringing it in, so it's a great thing. And if you can get down there to see it, it's even better. But thank you, girls, for what all you do for us with this program. And I just see it getting better and better every year. Thank you.
Jim, did you want your ticket for the banquet tonight? Yeah. Thank you, Jess. next, we have our general governor, Stephen Green. If you have to give it to him, it's $10.
I'm going to speak to you briefly on lodge elections and nominating procedures, proper steps in changing your lodge bylaws, and how to approve loyal order moose dues rates. Hopefully, all of your nominating committees have already been formed, are presently having their meetings. They should have been formed at the last regular meeting in February. Nominating committee's job is to select at least one candidate for each office. There may be a lot of different names submitted, but their job is to submit at least one. If you have five that are qualified, put all five of them there. But it's your job to decide if that person is qualified to serve in your lodge as an officer. If he's not, it's your job to say, no, we're sorry, we're going to reject you. If he is rejected, he has the right to run for that office only by petition. Okay? nominating committee will give their final report 2 weeks prior to the election. Once the report is given, it will be a written report signed by all members of the committee, and the committee will dissolve. The election should be held in April, prior to April 30th, and all your officers installed before April 30th. The election committee should be selected by the governor. There will be three good standing members of the lodge that are not officers and are not candidates running for office. They shall, if the lodge requests an Australian ballot, it has to be approved at a meeting, at a general membership meeting prior, at least a week prior to the election. If your lodge has had an Australian ballot used and you had a problem with it, you need to notify my office to get dispensation to do it again. If you do not get dispensation, it can be ruled void. So be sure, if you've had a problem at your last election, you get dispensation to do the Australian ballot if that's what you want to use. If there's only one candidate for each office, you can certainly have a show of hands at a regular meeting to ballot on these gentlemen. If a paper ballot is asked for, if you have one or more candidates, the ones that are unopposed, you can vote for them by a show of hands, and those that are opposed by the paper ballot. I encourage election committees to watch the ballot box at all times, keep account of all ballots. When the balloting is finished, the election committee should retire to the back of the hall, not out of the room, but in the hall, and count the ballots, sign the written report, give it to the administrator to be read on the lodge floor. Lodge ballots should be impounded for 48 hours in case there is someone contesting the ballot. And those ballots should remain with the election committee for those 48 hours. Anyone that runs on petition, if they have been turned down by the nominating committee, they seek that office, they can get, after the report is given to the lodge, they get the petition from the administrator. They need to get the number of names needed for the petition. Signatures of 10% of the first 500 members, plus 5% of the membership of the lodge in excess of 500. All members signing the petition must be in good standing of their lodge. The petition should be written similar to this. Excuse me, brother. We, the undersigned active members in lodge number so-and-so, Loyal Order Moose, hereby nominate so-and-so as an active member of the lodge for the office of. Sign your name. Your MID number. Once that's done, and you have the number of names that's required, then the administrator to see that your name is placed upon the ballot. That is the proper election process. Proper steps for changing your bylaws. So many lodges confuse rules, house committee rules, with bylaws. The bylaws of your lodge are simply the date and times you meet and the amount of dues you pay. That's all that's on your bylaws. The house committee can adopt rules, and if they're accepted by the membership, those become house committee social quarter rules. They're not bylaws. If you're going to change your bylaws, your dues rate,
or the time of your meeting or the day of your meeting, you have to send out notice. You have to send out proper notice to all members holding a special meeting, giving the date, the time of the meeting, the purpose of the meeting, and there will be a vote listed on that form. So when that is completed, if you have approved your dues rate increase, administrators go ahead and list that in the system because it takes 90 days before it becomes effective. So give yourself time to be sure that everything is in the system if you do change your dues rate. Once you have approved, your membership is approved, any change, notify my office. We will send you a new set of bylaws, a new certificate to post in your lodge. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for that. That's basically the process for changing your bylaws and your dues. Any questions? Anybody? Wow. You guys do it right. Thank you.
Sergeant at Arms Ron Kaminsky. Would you please introduce your the rest of the group there? Okay. All right.
Thank you, Brother President. Good morning, gentlemen. I am not going to mention names because I'm not exactly sure of everybody's name. I know first names, but I don't know last names. But you must have read my mind, Gary, because I was going to come here and ask to do that today, because sometimes on Sunday morning, they either got to leave or they got other duties because this thing will be packed up and loaded. And et cetera, et cetera. But I would like for my whole staff, all my assistants back there, to please stand up and be recognized. And I'll reiterate, these are all volunteers. There is no compensation unless they compensate themselves. But they're doing a fantastic job, gentlemen, and I thank you. It really, yesterday we were running around here kind of scratching our head, but boy, today is a whole lot better because more of them were able to get here today. Look forward to working with you the rest of this convention and up at the Sioux. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Jim Sage, you're up next.
A lot of great information so far today. Okay, I want to talk to you about the Governor's Award of Excellence. The presentation I'm going to do is it's an excerpt out of a letter or an article that Darren O'Brien published. So I'm going to use that information to pass this on to you. Before I get started, the Governor's Excellence, I know we got some new members here, first time attendees, I should say. Can I get a little more sound, Jeremy? John? Okay, how's this? Okay. Some of this information was covered in the August convention. It's worthwhile. It's a great program. It's a great recognition program. So please follow along with me if you would. It's going to be on the screens. Governor's Award of Excellence. How many governors are aware of the awards program? The awards program started in 2009. The following information is taken from our article from Baron O'Brien, as I had stated. Governor's Award of Excellence rewards outstanding leadership. The man who earns the Governor's Award of Excellence will be awarded with a distinct lapel pin and life membership in the lodge he served as governor. Earning this recognition is no easy task. To receive the Governor's Award of Excellence, all of the following criteria must be successfully achieved. Governor must first serve a full term from May 1st to April 30th. Lodges must have 100 members in active status at the conclusion of the governor's term of office ending on April 30th. Lodge must achieve a gain in active members during the governor's term ending at April 30th. Governor must sponsor at least one member during his term of office. Lodge must submit a timely moose of the year by July 1st. Lodge indebtedness to Moose International must be less than the indebtedness at the beginning of the governor's term that began on that May 1st. Lodge must remit endowment fund contributions to Moose charities monthly. Lodge must make timely submissions of community service reports to Moose International. Lodge must comply with the general laws during the governor's term of office. Governor, during his term of office, must have personally attended International Convention, Association Mid-Year, and Association Annual Convention. You can get more information on this at the Moose International website. This is a great program. If you're following along and really listening to the words, it's just asking us to do what we raised our hand when we volunteered to do it. And they're recognizing us for it. So if we talk the talk and do the walk, you get rewarded for doing what you said you were going to do to begin with. It's a great program. Get more information on the Moose International website for that. Yeah, sure. Thank you, Blues Report. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Connor, how are we doing on $100 tickets? Do we still have a bunch that need to come in?
We are at 446 out of 450. I expect to be at 450 by 3 o'clock.
We need four more tuned in? Okay. Apparently, we have four. If you have them and you need and you haven't started selling them, please do so or see us, and we will sell them for you. All right? Hang on.
I love Gary so much, when he opens the mouth, he gets another ticket.
I think it's time for our drawings.
Okay, 50-50 tickets. We got three in each category, starting with the white ticket. And then when you come up here, come up on this side. Jimmy's going to be over here to pay him out. 235-431. 235-431 white ticket. 235-591-591. 235-454-454 pink ticket. 593-498-498. 593-422-422. 593-522-522. Red ticket. 411-845-845. 411-987.
407-411-764-764. Green ticket. 490-654-654. 490-538-538. 490-268-268. Yellow ticket. Two in this category because Mr. O'Connor already run 1-1. 349-627-627. 349-965-965. Red ticket for the TV. 893-799. Come see us.
Hello? Okay. Before we recess, I want to, for those, Bruce Monroe and Dale Johnson, and we'll be, for the Council of Higher Degrees lunch, we are raffling off a lamp. We hope that a lot of you will participate in that raffle, and the funds will go for special projects. So you have a good lunch, and we will see you back here this afternoon. Tawas member, come see Bob Rooker. Meeting adjourned.
SD Lodge, would you please come to the AV table? SD Lodge, to the AV table.